Tonight our study will be, the title of the study is, That Rock Was Christ. And I'll read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as the background for our study. 1 Corinthians 10, Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. A thought comes to me, that's a wonderful passage of Scripture to keep in mind when things are falling apart. Bear with me a little personal. I had a very good friend many years ago now, and he was blind. And I went by to visit him, and to show you how dumb I am, I had a loaf of bread that Cora had made, and I held out the loaf of bread to him. Like, I didn't put it together that he couldn't see the bread. And it took me a few minutes to say, hey, here's your bread. But anyway, the point of all that was that he was very discouraged, and I read this passage of Scripture to him, and he seemed to get some relief from it. So the Lord is going to take care of us. He won't tempt us beyond that which we're able, but we still must pay attention, trust Him. So I want to talk a little bit about the types in Scripture, types. The Holy Spirit uses types in Scripture, and the way that works, he uses things that we know something about, that we can see, to teach us a spiritual lesson, something that may not be seen. We are sure of our typology when the Bible tells us an object is a type. For example, we read it, 1 Corinthians 10:4, that rock was Christ. So, we are presented with a type in Scripture. We should meditate on what we know about the object and then compare that with the truth that we are learning. And an example that I thought of, the Bible, the Lord Jesus, calls believers sheep. Not very flattering, if you know much about sheep. John chapter 10, at verse 1, Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So, what do we know about sheep? They're not very smart. They're easily distracted. They're weak. They'll only follow a trusted leader. So, those characteristics of sheep, the Lord Jesus says that's what we like. Moving to the current type, the rock, what do we know about a rock? Now, this is not talking about a little pebble or stone. This is a massive rock. Generally thinking, it's immovable. It's firm. If it has a cleft, a crack in it, it's a safe place for creatures. When the Holy Spirit uses more than one person, namely Moses, Isaiah, David, and the Lord Jesus himself, with that type, the rock as a type, it surely has value. It's used so much in the Scripture. How is a rock a type in these texts? You don't have to look these up. I'll read it to you. In Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. Another passage, we're going to come back to these in a minute. Isaiah 32. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim. The ears of those who hear will listen. Also the hearts of the rash will understand knowledge. The tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 16, well, familiar passage, at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter declared and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's look a little closer at this type of Christ. A rock is a type of Christ. We've already looked at we read the passage in 1 Corinthians 10:4. Over in Exodus 17, and the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, which the people may drink. Well, here the rock is the type of the Lord Jesus. He was smitten at Calvary, and from whom flow salvation, redemption, pardon. Another passage in Exodus 33. Then he said, the Lord speaking to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and cover you with my hand when I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The record indicates that the type it represents, the rock represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the safety. We sang Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And that's what this passage is about. I mean, the safety within the cleft, within the crevice of the rock. God the Father can only look upon us with favor as we are hidden in Christ. It is only in Christ that we understand anything about God. Fairly long passage in Numbers chapter 20, but I think it makes our point. I hope it does. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before your eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, hear now, you rebels. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Well, how did Moses provoke God? It's true that he struck the rock, but Moses is not chastened, I don't think, for striking the rock. What was his provocation? Moses did not believe God. He took on to himself, must we do this? And he did not honor God in that, and I think that's what the provocation was. Well, we take a concordance. I've done it. Go rock hunting. I got a grandson that's nuts about rocks. Everywhere he goes, he picks up rocks. And when I find an interesting rock, I save it for him. And he knows about rocks. I mean, he studied, what's the science?
Geology?
What is it? Is another? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But he knows a lot about rocks. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, the God of truth, and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So here the picture is the sure foundation, the stability, the security, the firmness. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 13, he made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. Honey is a rich food and water is refreshing. And so we have this picture of bringing water out of the rock. Deuteronomy 32:15. The Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and grew thick. You are obese. For he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. When you esteem something, it's what you think of it. And Jeshurun scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, I had to look up Jeshurun to be sure. It's a poetical name for the people of Israel. It's used as a token of affection, meaning the dear, upright people. That's from Easton's Bible Dictionary. God is the source of salvation. Deuteronomy 32:18. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. So here, I believe we see that God is the source of life. Deuteronomy 32:30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rocks had sold them? and the Lord had surrendered them. The idea here, I believe, is God is our owner. And then Deuteronomy 32:31, for their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. God is perfect. Their rock is not like our rock. Our God is perfect and unchanging. And then verse 37, he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge? It occurs to me over and over, this type of the rock is used in so many ways. The ungodly are not trusting in the true rock. And then a couple more, moving over into the New Testament. Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, this is the Lord speaking, of course, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And I dealt with that a little bit Sunday. Jesus is the true foundation. He is the rock upon which we must trust. And then one more in Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. I realize after I got into that, I'd already read that passage, but too far committed to stop. I shouldn't bring up something if I can't remember it well, but Peter, I believe, is the word is a small pebble or small rock. And the other rock is the truth of Christ. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's the truth of that Christ spoke. That's the rock, the big rock. I hope I've helped some if I haven't muddled that up too much. Do you have some thoughts about rocks and types and things of that nature? Let me get to you, Bob.
Why not? What a great subject. And I know you just gave us a smattering of the references.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add one. We're all living stones.
Yes.
Built upon the foundation of the, I think, apostles and prophets or something like that.
Right.
And with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And what a thing to be compared to a bunch of rocks. But you know, a pile of rocks isn't much of anything until you build it into that building.
That's a good point.
And we're all together making a building, and we're living stones. What did, you know, this guy who invented the pet rock, what a money-making scheme, you know. But we're living rocks, unlike that pet rock.
For the pet rock, and one of my favorites, too, is the Weather Bureau. There's a rock hanging on a string, and under it it says, if it's wet, it's raining. If it's moving, the wind's blowing.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, anybody else?